Verse 11. And this is the best way to learn the Bible. Going verse by verse, and let's go and pray. Lord, I do thank you for your words, and I do pray that you'd help us to understand them, help us to know how to apply them. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, 11. So this is new territory, and it says, in that knowing the time, that now is high time to awake out of sleep. You can see how the word sleep is being used there. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. He wrote that 2,000 years ago. But sometimes in the Bible, when you follow the verb tenses, sometimes the writer has been pushed up there. So you got to kind of keep that in mind when you read that, because God is present tense at all time. I am that I am. And so since he is, sometimes when he has his men write the scriptures, sometimes he will put them in that present tense event. And that's what he did to John in Revelation. So what John is writing in at the time he was living present tense in the tribulation was future, is still future for us. So God can step out of time, outside of time, and then write that way. I'll give you an example of that. Well, if you would, look at Psalm 97 and Psalm 99. Habakkuk is one that said he saw. He wrote what he saw. He saw the second coming. And so he wrote about it, what he saw. But so sometimes you'll see that in the Bible as far as the present tense goes. Psalm 97, verse 1, you see that the Lord reigneth? That's present tense, the Lord reigneth. Person might say, well, he is reigning. Yeah, but not like this context. Let the earth rejoice, let the multitude of isles be glad thereof. So technically, he's about the millennium there. Probably better evidence is 99, Psalm 99. The Lord reigneth, let the people tremble. He sitteth between the cherubims, let the earth be moved. The Lord is great in Zion. So that's when he's ruling in Zion. So he took the writer, doesn't say if it's David or not, he just took that writer and threw him in the future. And so he writes present tense. And that's the glorious thing about our God, is because he's present tense. And so sometimes you'll see that. You know, when I was a kid, you know, not too many things kind of get in a kid's head. But there was one thing I noticed, even in the Dutch Reformed. I did get a couple things out of the Dutch Reformed. Is when they'd read about the gospel is where he said the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And I, as a kid, I'm thinking, at hand? That was 2,000 years ago. But it was available, depending on Israel, which I didn't know at that time. So, okay, verse 12, the night is far spent. Now, right there, if the writer is saying the night is far spent, doctrinally, the church age is referred to as night. And so you have like four watches in a night. So in that context, maybe the Lord jumped them to the end of the church time period. The night is far spent. That's why he said that. The day is at hand. The day is a picture of the millennium, the second coming. Jesus is the Son of Righteousness, S-U-N, uppercase S, Malachi. So that's sometimes how that's written. He says, let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Of course, Ephesians writes a lot about that armor of light. Ephesians 6 is a lot about spiritual warfare. And Paul mentions some things on spiritual warfare. And so we can get that from Paul in Ephesians 6. He's got six or seven six or seven parts to his armor. It mentions six, but if you got the leg greaves, he's probably on his knees praying, so he doesn't mention that. And so that would be something we need, desperately need. And then it says, let us walk honestly. I don't know why the new Bibles don't like the word honestly. A lot of them take that out. Let us walk honestly. Honestly, honest, sincerity, meekness, what's the other one? Humility. are all virtues of the mind. They're all virtues within. You can't really display it. Well, years ago, one of the men at a Rensselaer church was giving us testimony. I don't know, he got elected to some town board or something like that. And he said, it really humbled me. And then he talked about that. I was waiting for him to say, I'm proud of my humility. I was kind of waiting for that to come out. It almost came out, but when somebody tries to portray humility, it's kind of a laugher, you know. Mr. Rogers probably would portray meekness, but it's still kind of a laugher. But those ideas, those are inner qualities, because the kingdom of God is within you. And so this is what the Lord is looking at in us: honesty, sincerity. Those two are pretty similar, kin, meekness, and then humility. Those are all inner qualities. Jesus said, I am meek and lowly in heart. So you see that lowly in heart, so that's an attitude. And then he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, and it was a humble mind. So again, can you imagine our eternal God who spoke this word in existence is a humble person? Humble God. I mean, in Isaiah 40-48, when God is speaking to the world, he does some trash talking there. He looks around and says, there's no God like me. He's worthy of that. So, but yeah, let us walk honestly as in a day, not in rioting. Of course, you know, BLM, those were peaceful protests, you know, and then January 6th was a violent protest. Yeah, you know, sir. These news media type, it's like, this is a peaceful protest, you know, Minnesota, and you can see the flames in the background. I mean, who are you kidding? It's just, it's comical, not rioting. In 2 Peter, it says rioting in the daytime. That's when you know you get a pretty wicked society. Rioting in the daytime and drunkenness. Okay, not in chambering. Chambering is what we would call like shacking up. Okay, something like that. Not in chambering and wantonness. Not in strife and envying. So you may not have noted, we had a wedding this morning right after church. Yeah, my office. So somebody got married. Orville and Cheryl got married. And so I talked to him about that. And so Joanne and Steve were the witnesses, and it was good. I understood Orville on that one, too. He's kind of hard to understand sometimes. But I got that, I do. He said that pretty vocally. So that was good. So, yeah, that's what we're supposed to have. Wantonness, not in strife and envying. And then, but put ye on the Lord Jesus. Make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Okay, provision. That's the password for the church website. You know, or, yeah, provision. I use that one because it brings to memory provision, vision. The pictures with music on cell phones and computers are so powerful. And it's interesting to me, if you would go to Numbers 33:52 in the Old Testament. Moving pictures are very powerful. I saw some clips in the old, in past, in Tartaria, some of that stuff, where the statues usually have the heads cut off, knock the heads off and knock the hands off. And the reason might be is because their heads were elongated, because they were, and their hands had six fingers. That might be something there. And some of them had something in their hand, like a cell phone or a watch. I don't know if it's true or not, but it's just kind of weird, some of those things. Numbers 33:52, this is what the Jews were told to do when they come into the land. And Numbers 33:52, one of the things the Lord made sure that they were to do. So he says, then ye shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you and destroy all their pictures. Every new Bible changes that. Destroy their pictures. And the reason why is we all have this problem. Maybe not my son, because he remembers everybody's names. Brent, he's just amazing. He's got 400 kids in the athletic program that he works with in the military. He knows every kid's name. Man, I couldn't do that. And he's been having some funny things happen. One kid kept kicking him. Finally, he turned around. I don't think he kicked him, but I think he said something. And you can't do anything to those kids. They'll spit on you, throw stuff at you, and you can't say anything to them. But Brent said something, and he kind of, I don't know if he got in trouble, but he don't care. And then his woke fellow worker, who's obese that can't do anything, she spouted off. She said, you just shut up. And he put it back on her. He's so funny. He just, say what I want. But the word pictures has changed. Now, what I was saying before I rudely interrupted myself is that we all will remember a face, but we don't remember the name. Okay, and the reason why is that we remember about 80% of what we see and about 12% of what we hear, unless we're really focused on what we hear. And when, you know, how many times have you, somebody told you their name and you forgot it in 30 seconds? And the thing is I took a, you know, I read a memory book, but I forgot what the memory book said. It's by Jerry Lucas. Jerry Lucas is a basketball player for New York Knicks. He memorized the entire book, The Exorcist. I would have thought to memorize something better than that. But he and another guy, they could go to a 500 audience, like they would do this, and before the show started, he'd ask each one their name and their phone number, and then the show started, and then he would say, here's your name and here's your phone number. And the secret was, is that if you got the person's name and you notice their face, and if you notice something unusual in their face, maybe they got a big honking nose, and then you put a funny picture with the word and the nose, and when you see the nose, the name comes off for you. That's how they remember it. You know, maybe it's whatever the name you got, and you think of something funny, and that's how you remember it. That's a lot of times how I would get better grades in schools. I'd put them in a name. If you have an outline, then you'd put the letter in a name, and then you could remember the name, and then you got all everything else following it up. But we're all guilty of that. But the Lord said, destroy those pictures because of the power of pictures. Okay, I tell you, porn is a powerful thing. And a survey was conducted at a Southern Baptist convention with pastors involved, and they asked the question, how many of you view porn regularly? 70% of the pastors admitted it. 70% admitted it. What about the ones that didn't? And Mike Pearl has a pretty good little booklet on porn, and people just don't realize, a lot of those porn stars are transgenders, but that is so evil, those people have no conscience, and it distorts the mind, and a person can't think straight. And we have to view it like welding. If you ever go into a building and somebody's welding, you know, you turn your face, that's how you got to view it. Make a covenant with your eyes. So very important. Okay, chapter 14. Chapter 14 is so important, but so lacking, especially amongst Baptists, Bible believers, fundamentalists, whatever, evangelicals. It's sadly, what do we do with our differences in our beliefs? Okay, we're not going to bat 1,000, and we shouldn't. We're not going to agree 100%, and we shouldn't. We each have different backgrounds, okay? And So what do we do about these? Now, in this context, because he was dealing with Jewish people, there were a couple of issues that he brought up. Okay, so verse 1, him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations or disputing. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Okay, so what, vegetarian or whatever. So that's the one topic, is diet. Okay, let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Notice the two attitudes, and this is common. You don't believe this, you know, some topic. What do they do if you don't believe that topic? They despise you. They judge you. Back and forth. Okay, in this context, it's not talking, I don't believe it's talking that a person is weak to the point where they're just weak in their Christian life. I would say the weakness here is they're weak on that topic. They haven't looked at that topic. So this one would be first dietary. So a person being weak in the faith of the dietary, they've not studied it. They don't know anything about it. They've never considered it. So they would be weak in that idea. Somebody else who may have studied nutrition and had some wonderful things, they would be stronger than that. So that person shouldn't be, you know, just railing on this one for not studying. And then this one shouldn't be looking at them and saying, well, you're just self-righteous and all that stuff. But sadly, that is the standard reaction. Okay, and so then he says, who art thou that judgeth another man's servant, which is standard? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Man, right there we go. And then he says, yea, he shall be holding up, for God is able to make him stand. Why is it that, okay, you know, these preachers, you know, they get somebody or they give somebody a book, they say, well, I don't agree with everything in a book. Well, I didn't ask you to tell me that. Why are you handing me the book? Don't you think I got a brain? I can read it. You know, well, I don't read anything. I had a guy on YouTube, he criticized the Reference Bible. He went to one footnote about the flat earth. Okay, there are 3,000 footnotes in the Reference Bible. I think three of them I talked about biblical cosmology. That is 0.1%. He's griping about, and this same man was more gracious to a pedophile who committed suicide than he was toward me. Now, the one about the pedophiles, he pulled it off the YouTube after several people put comments on it. I better take that off, man. It was a preacher down in Tennessee. He was in cahoots with Dave Hiles. He was in cahoots with a guy named Kingsbury, both perverts. Okay, and then a friend of mine told the fella in Tennessee, you're in cahoots with them, you must be dirty too. And then he hung up on him. And he turned out to be. But, yeah, what? Can you imagine going to somebody's house and they get this wonderful meal for you, and maybe they serve broccoli and you don't like broccoli. I can't believe you got broccoli here. You might want to say, okay, you don't like broccoli? Take everything away from him and put broccoli on the plate. And what gratitude. Lack of gratitude, just totally. And so then in verse 5 is the other topic. So there are two topics in math in Romans here. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. And then here's the bottom line. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. If you're not persuaded, then I'm not worried about it. And if you are persuaded, I'm still not worried about it. You know, and so that's, yeah. If you would try two places, Luke 11. For some reason, this sounds kind of familiar. So if I did this, you know, just forget it. I forget stuff. You know, it's, that's a blessing of Alzheimer's, is all these new friends you get to meet. So, get to hide your own Easter eggs, too. That'd be a good ministry to have, you know, in a nursing home in the Alzheimer's, because you can preach the same message every single week. And Papaw, do you remember Papaw? Jan's dad. He would sit back here and on at 4 o'clock, and I'd be preaching away, and he goes, what would he say back there? He said, yak. Trying to shut me up, and it's so funny. But, okay, look at these two verses, okay? Luke 11:23. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. Okay, so that one is like, got to agree 100%. Then look at Luke 9:50. Forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us. So which one's right? Both right. That was a dirty trick. They're both right, but how do we apply them? Okay, you have this in Matthew also. Matthew has the same... I think Matthew has the same too. So these two ideas are recorded twice. And if you analyze both of them, one of them in the Luke is dealing with spirits. So dealing with spirits, he that is not with me is against me. So that's why music, we got to be very strict with our music, because spirits are involved with music. And we have to be very strict in our reading material when it deals with witchcraft, anything like that. Okay, like Harry Potter, Twilight series, Pokemon. Pokemon is Pocket Monster. And so those things we got to be very careful about, because a person can get under a spell very easily. Now, praise the Lord, because of the power of Jesus, we can get out of that very easily too. Now, even in the New Agey stuff, even in some of our health places, you know, sometimes you go to a health food store and you look behind a door to make sure there's not a broom there that one of them flew in on. And there's one up in Crown Point. They sell gemstones. Jen and I have been in there several times, but when we walk out, we go, ooh. We buy what we want, cleanse it with the blood, cleanse ourselves with the blood, because you could almost feel them in there. And so, again, we could learn from it. Okay, it's sad to me that Christians are not studying about nutrition and taking care of their body. What's the number one prayer request usually in prayer meeting? So-and-so sick, so-and-so sick, so-and-so sick. Okay, and so I don't know if you ever gotten online. If you want to have some Christian entertainment, get online and type in snake handlers. That's funny to watch, especially when they get bit. But they are almost all... And they got the music, it's like mountain, hillbilly music, and they're about like Jell-O going up and down, but they're all big. And they need some healing, that's what they need. But even at that, so what do we do with people? The one in Luke 9 is dealing with people with different beliefs. The one in Luke 11 is dealing with spirits. In Luke 9, a person doesn't have to agree with me. Doesn't. We had Bill Snevelin here several times, and he said some things behind the pulpit that I'm like, okay. I mean, you know, him going through a truck and seeing the motor parts, and I'm okay, whatever, Bill. And then we had Waleed Shubat. Remember Waleed several years ago? Waleed was a former Muslim, New King Jimmy guy, smoked ciggies. And so Because I had him for, because he grew up in Jordan, the country of Jordan, and he was taught to sing that Jews are pigs, Jews are pigs. So I thought that'd be beneficial for us. Now I'm gonna really try to reach out to get somebody that I don't think we're gonna get. I'm gonna try to get Jordan Peterson. I got his book, Wrestle with God. I've read through the first chapter. I'm like, wow, this is good. I just pray the Lord that he's saved. Okay, but doesn't it say in Luke that even the children of this world are wiser than the children of light? So they got a lot of things right, but when a person has a litmus test, you have to be this to this and this to agree in order for me. I want to find people who are experts in their field. Ron Wyatt. We had Ron Wyatt, I think twice. He's a Seventh-day Adventist. He couldn't reconcile Calvinism and Arminianism. And I could see that. But when we are on our trip in Israel, he had me teach on a King James Bible. And so he's got to work those things out himself. And so if we got differences of belief, about a month ago, Jan was, some of you were standing over here and talking about the play. And you guys kind of started brainstorming. It wasn't like trying to prove somebody right or wrong. It's like, well, what about this verse? What about that verse? What about this verse? I mean, that's the way it should be. We have, Adam and Eve had a problem with two verses. And God added 31,100 more for us. And we're going to bat 1,000 in all those? There's no way. The Bible is just filled with information that we're going to discover in a millennial time period. So, wow, we missed that one, didn't we? A lot of them. And so in Romans 14, it is dealing with our differences where we have grace. We allow people the opportunity to grow at their own pace. You say, what if they don't want to grow? That's their choice. So what am I going to do, beat their head in to try to get them to grow? That's their choice. And when they're ready, they're ready. And so that's what Romans 14 is all about. I wish the brethren would just read it and consider it. It's just amazing to me how you got to dot all your I's, cross all your T's for these people. It's like, you mean to tell me you've never met a Catholic that gave a good salvation experience? I've met some. Well, they should get out of the Catholic Church. Well, yeah, I agree, but you know the pressure that they're under by their family? That's up to them. That's up to them. You know, and so Romans 14 is all about our differences, and the bottom line is verse 5, the last statement, let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. And if you're not persuaded with something, fine. And if you don't want to research it, fine. It doesn't matter. It's up to you. It's the Lord leads us in different ways. And I kind of think the reason why God chose Ron Wyatt to find some of those sites, if he would have probably chose a Baptist, he would have gone back to America, shot his mouth out about all that I found, and the Israeli government said, don't you come back. Where Ron Wyatt just he was quiet about it, but boy, this and that and this. And when he got arrested in Saudi Arabia because he was on Mount Sinai and he was thrown in jail in Saudi Arabia, but he had medical knowledge that was able to help them in the prison while he was in jail, and it helped him get out of jail. And I mean, it's the Lord uses different people at different times. And if God were to put all the prophets together in one building, Jeremiah, Isaiah, Amos, they'd probably shot each other. You know, that's often the case. Well, I'm right here. Well, I'm happy for you. You know, people make these big, bold stands all the time. You know, just don't take yourself so seriously. You know, raise your arm and smell your armpit and you'll find out you stink. You know? And preachers take themselves so stinking seriously. You know, and I take the calling of a God very serious, but I don't take myself very serious. And we just kind of, life is more relaxing that way. So in verse 5, he said, one man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. I would be in the second part on that idea. Every day is alike to me. Sunday is definitely a day of rest for me. You know, boy, the hardest one I had through the years is a 6 o'clock in Rensselaer. I would be about ready to go to sleep on that one. But every day's, now you have some Christians now who think that they're pretending to be Israel. They think they're obeying the Sabbath. If they want to do that, I don't care. Fine. Don't tell me you're spiritual because you do that. I mean, you can tell me, but I'm not going to buy it. Every day is important to the Lord. Sabbath between God and Israel. If they say, well, I'm Israel. Okay, fine, good. You're Israel. What are you doing here in America? Why should you? You should be in Israel. If that's what you are, you should be in Israel. Would you like me to give you a ticket to get out of here? I'd be glad to buy you the ticket. You know, I'll send you to Jordan. That way you can get into Rock City and get some land and be ready. I told that to a guy that thought he was going to the trib. I said, you going to Jordan? He said, what are you talking about? I said, I didn't think you knew. Go to Jordan, get some land, get a bomb shelter, put some, you know, if that's what a person's going to do. So the Lord wants every day special for the believer. Okay, but in this context, because we're so close to Israel's time, some folks were still thinking, okay, we came out of the Dutch Reformed, and the Dutch Reformed consider Sunday to be the Holy Sabbath. That's how the Dutchy people do it. Okay, and so we did not work on Sunday. I mean, we'd have a crop in the field. We did not work on Sunday. That's what Dad did. Okay, one time we got a feed grinder out because we ran out of hog feed. One day, but that's all that is getting on the tractor, pulling it onto the overhead bin, putting some grain in it, turning it on, then throwing it out to the hogs. That wasn't much labor. And that's what we did. Now, did we have to do that? No, but that was my dad's belief. That came from the Dutch Reformed. And if you go to DeMott, you'll see the Dutchies pretty well hold to that. Now, some of them sneak around it, you know, and they might go to the bar when they shut it, you know, but yeah, that's what they do. I know a Dutchie that's in a Baptist church. He will not play basketball on Sunday because that's his conviction. I don't have that conviction because that's still resting. So everybody's got a different thing. And then verse 6, he said, he that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord. And he regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. So that would be our motivation for the belief. Are we doing it because we believe, we're persuaded that the Lord wants me to do this? It's not, are we doing this because I'm more righteous than somebody else? And then he that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. Now that verse gives a balance also in there, where we want to be careful about some of the things we do as testimony. We're not worried about it. We're not paranoid about it. But when the Spirit kind of says, okay, how about this? So-and-so, maybe you can just kind of back off on that idea. And that's just following the Lord's leading, when the Lord would give you impression or something like that. Okay, and you can recognize the Lord giving you an impression. I know sometimes the Lord gets credit for, the Lord told me, okay, thank you very much. Sometimes, you know, you got to get a different vibe in there. But sometimes you want to make sure the Lord's in it. So in these things, okay, in these things, in our culture, I don't think eating of herbs and a special day would be an issue of differences of beliefs. In the Baptist world, there are different things. And so, and boy, they'll fight over it too. And so it's like 9 out of 10 ain't bad. And actually, in basketball, that's pretty good. 9 out of 10 free throws is pretty good. Now, me, 9 out of 10 in basketball, I can do that with no problem. It's 9 out of 10 in bowling that I have a problem with. But fortunately, I don't have to have the little bumpers, you know, that the little kids have. But, yeah, in our beliefs with others, 7 out of 10 ain't bad. Why do people feel like they got to hit that one we disagree? If you want to discuss it, fine. But don't get mad over it. Don't lose a friend over it. I mean, there's a lot of things out there that are so much more important. And trying to keep our testimony straight, the motivation of something we believe is that I don't want to defile my conscience. That's what Daniel did. If that defiles my conscience, then I want to stay away from it. So Romans 14, I wish that would be preached in preacher conferences. I go to preacher's conferences, I usually go away depressed. You know, it's supposed to be excited, but because I see the politics, and it's like this guy's trying to outgo do this guy, and some like there's one in North Carolina I really enjoy. I haven't been there for 2-3 years, but it's a North Carolina preaching. It's not my style, that's for sure. It's very similar to an auctioneer. A few times I almost want to say sold. Turn your Bibles into oil, oil. And the one has a hup to him. You ever hear those hupping ones? Hip-a-da-hip-a-da-hip-a-da. Wow. How'd you propose to your wife? Well, marry me. She said, I do. But, hey, they got more spirituality than I got, that's for sure. So Romans 14 is about our differences, our differences. You put aside all your differences and agree with me. That's the interpretation I get out of that. Okay, we'll stop there. Lord, I thank you for your words, and I do pray you'd help us to be people of grace and truth. Not just truth, not just grace, but grace and truth. Thank you for our time. In Jesus' name, amen.